Chapter 6 of The Tale of Little Pig Robinson by Beatrix Potter. This Legimus recording may be distributed and adapted freely for any purpose. Read by Rachel. Chapter 6. Stymouth was full of inns, too full. The farmers usually put up their horses at the Black Bull or the Horse and Farrier. The smaller market people patronized the Pig and Whistle. There was another inn called the Crown and Anchor at the corner of Fore Street. It was much frequented by seamen. Several were lounging about the door with their hands in their pockets. One sailor man in a blue jersey sauntered across the road, staring very hard at Robinson. Said he, "I say, little pig, do you like snuff?" Now if Robinson had a fault, it was that he could not say no, not even to a hedgehog stealing eggs. As a matter of fact, snuff or tobacco made him sick. But instead of saying, "No, thank you, Mr. Man," and going straight away about his business, he shuffled his feet, half-closed one eye, hung his head on one side, and grunted. The sailor pulled out a horn snuff-box and presented a small pinch to Robinson, who wrapped it up in a little bit of paper, intending to give it to Aunt Dorcas. Then, not to be outdone in politeness, he offered the sailor man some barley sugar. If Robinson was not fond of snuff, at all events, his new acquaintance had no objection to candy. He ate an alarming quantity. Then he pulled Robinson's ear and complimented him, and said he had five chins. He promised to take Robinson to the cabbage seed shop, and finally he begged to have the honor of showing him over a ship engaged in the ginger trade, commanded by Captain Barnabas Butcher, and named the Pound of Candles. Robinson did not very much like the name. It reminded him of tallow, of lard, of crackle and trimmings of bacon. But he allowed himself to be led away, smiling shyly and walking on his toes. If Robinson had only known, that man was a ship's cook! As they turned down the steep narrow lane out of High Street leading to the harbor, old Mr. Mumby at his shop door called out anxiously, "Robinson! Robinson!" But there was too much noise of carts, and a customer coming into the shop at that moment distracted his attention, and he forgot the suspicious behavior of the sailor. Otherwise, out of regard for the family, he would undoubtedly have ordered his dog, Tipkins, to go and fetch Robinson back. As it was, he was the first person to give useful information to the police when Robinson had been missed. But it was then too late. Robinson and his new friend went down the long flight of steps to the harbor basin, very high steps, steep and slippery. The little pig was obliged to jump from step to step until the sailor kindly took hold of him. They walked along the quay hand in hand. Their appearance seemed to cause unbounded amusement. Robinson looked about him with much interest. He had peeped over those steps before when he had come into Stymouth in the donkey-cart, but he had never ventured to go down, because the sailors are rather rough, and because they frequently have little snarling terriers on guard about their vessels. There were ever so many ships in the harbor. The noise and bustle was almost as loud as it had been up above in the market square. A big three-masted ship called the Goldilocks was discharging a cargo of oranges, and farther along the quay a small coasting brig called Little Bo Peep of Bristol was loading up with bales of wool belonging to the sheep of Ewhampton and Lamworthy. Old Sim Ram, with a sheep bell and big curly horns, stood by the gangway keeping count of the bales. Every time the crane swung round and let down another bale of wool into the hold, with a scuffle of rope through the pulley, Simon Ram nodded his old head, and the bell went tinkle-tinkle-tong and gave a gruff bleat. He was a person who knew Robinson by sight, and ought to have warned him. He had often passed Piggery Porcombe when he drove down the lane in his gig. But his blind eye was turned towards the quay, and he had been flustered and confused by an argument with the pursers as to whether 35 bales of wool had been hoisted on board already, or only 34. So he kept his one useful eye carefully on the wool, and counted it by the notches on his tally-stick, another bale, another notch, 35, 36, 37. He hoped the number would come right at the finish. His bob-tailed sheepdog, Timothy Jip, was also acquainted with Robinson, but he was busy superintending a dog-fight between an Airedale terrier, belonging to the collier Marjorie Daw, and a Spanish dog belonging to the Goldilocks. No one took any notice of their growling and snarling, which ended in both rolling over the side of the quay and falling into the water. Robinson kept close to the sailor, and held his hand very tight. The Pound of Candles proved to be a good-sized schooner, newly painted and decorated with certain flags, whose significance was not understood by Robinson. She lay near the outer end of the jetty. The tide was running up fast, lapping against the ship's sides, and straining the thick hawsers by which she was moored to the quay. The crew were stowing goods on board, and doing things with ropes, under the direction of Captain Barnabas Butcher, a lean brown nautical person with a rasping voice. He banged things about and grumbled. Parts of his remarks were audible on the quay. He was speaking about the tug Seahorse, at about the spring tide, with a northeast wind behind it, and the baker's man, and fresh vegetables, to be shipped at 11 sharp, likewise a joint of— He stopped short suddenly, and his eye lighted upon the cook and Robinson. Robinson and the cook went on board across a shaky plank. When Robinson stepped onto the deck, he found himself face to face with a large yellow cat who was blacking boots. The cat gave a start of surprise and dropped its blacking brush. It then began to wink and make extraordinary faces at Robinson. He had never seen a cat behave in that way before. He inquired whether it was ill. Whereupon, the cook threw a boot at it, and it rushed up into the rigging. But Robinson he invited most affably to descend into the cabin, to partake of muffins and crumpets. I do not know how many muffins Robinson consumed. He went on eating them until he fell asleep, and he went on sleeping until his stool gave a lurch, and he fell off and rolled under the table. One side of the cabin floor swung up to the ceiling, and the other side of the ceiling swung down to the floor. Plates danced about, and there were shoutings and thumpings and rattling of chains and other bad sounds. Robinson picked himself up, feeling bumped. He scrambled up a sort of a ladder staircase onto the deck. Then he gave squeal upon squeal of horror. All round the shop there were great big green waves. The houses on the quay were like dolls' houses, and high up inland, above the red cliffs and green fields, he could see the farm of Piggery Porcombe, looking no bigger than a postage stamp. A little white patch in the orchard was Aunt Porcus's washing, spread out to bleach upon the grass. Near at hand, the black tug Seahorse smoked and plunged and rolled. They were winding in the tow rope, which had just been cast loose from the Pound of Candles. Captain Barnabas stood up in the bows of his schooner. He yelled and shouted to the master of the tug. The sailors shouted also, and pulled with a will, and hoisted the sails. The ship keeled over, and rushed through the waves, and there was a smell of the sea. As for Robinson, he tore round and round the deck like one distracted, shrieking very shrill and loud. Once or twice he slipped down, for the deck was extremely sideways, but still he ran and ran. Gradually his squeals subsided into singing, but still he kept on running, and this is what he sang.
How poor Pig Robinson grew so! Oh, how in the world could they do so? They have set him afloat in a horrible boat. Oh, poor Pig Robinson Crusoe!
The sailors laughed until they cried, but when Robinson had sung that same verse about 50 times, and upset several sailors by rushing between their legs. They began to get angry. Even the ship's cook was no longer civil to Robinson. On the contrary, he was very rude indeed. He said that if Robinson did not leave off singing through his nose, he would make him into pork chops. Then Robinson fainted, and fell flat upon the deck of the Pound of Candles. End of chapter 6.